Get in God's house and work. Churches started on the Isle of Crete by the Apostle Paul. Titus at his side. Paul leaves to go on another missionary, portion of his missionary journey. He leaves Titus there, as he says, to set some things in order, to get some things in the right sequence. Today we want to look at relationships that reflect the character of God. This is discussed in verses 1 to 10. If you found that in your Bibles, or if you don't have a Bible, we'll have it on the screen for you. We'd much prefer that you look at this in your own copy of the Scriptures. If you don't have your own copy of the Scriptures, let us know. We'll certainly see that you get one. Stand with me, if you would, as we go through these verses together. He's just discussed in previous verses how to deal with those who cause chaos in his family, who disrupt the unity. He turns back to speak to Titus, and then through Titus to the various relationships in the congregation. So he says this: "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Let the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." Very practical. Very clear. We may not have a handle immediately on the definition of some term, but it's very clear what he's saying. I want you to think of two words as we go through this week. I mentioned modeling, and mentoring. Modeling and mentoring. We just read together what? The inerrant, infallible, all sufficient Word of God. May we embrace it today in such a way as to say, we want our lives to reflect the sufficiency of this book of life. Thank you, Steve. It's important that you know and embrace and act upon instructions on how to deal with people who disrupt the unity. We looked at that last week. That's very important. But you see, that's not all but important. Because if we make that all but important, then we're always in reactionary mode. We're always going to be reacting to. All but important when it comes to relationships in the congregation is to be proactive, to cultivate relationships that reflect the character of God. We want to reflect and honor the character of our God. We want salvation by grace through faith to come into our lives in such a way that, as recipients of this so great salvation, we are increasingly conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which is what Romans 8 tells us that God's purpose is all about. It's about Him being glorified in the lives of sinners who, when saved by grace, begin a process, a journey of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. anyone can say verbally, I am conformed to the doctrine of Christ, and I believe the doctrine of Christ. That can come out of anybody's mouth. You can teach a parrot to say that if you work for them long enough. But to say it, and to show it, to live it, to struggle, to demonstrate it, and it is a struggle, by the way, as we've been studying in our life groups on Sunday evening, the reality of remaining sin as we face the command to pursue holiness, it's a battle. Don't feel badly if you battle remaining flesh, remaining corruption. Don't feel bad. The alternative is to embrace it, to love it, to defend it, to nurture it. The alternative is to be taken captive by the devil to do his will. So don't feel badly if there's a battle raging in your life. So Paul here instructs Titus, as you read that, something very familiar ought to be jumping out to you. Paul expected Titus to teach the older, the mature believers that there were expectations on them. That the older men were to disciple or mentor the younger men. He expected the older women, the mature believers, who were women in the church, to disciple and mentor the younger women. When this is not happening, on a growing, maturing, more intentional basis, then it is an issue that needs to be, quote, set in order. There's some things that remain. If you heard Francis Chan and David Platt saying earlier in that video, we need to do this. You see, you move through transformations, levels of understanding and action, where you go from not knowing that the Church of Jesus Christ is left on earth to be a disciple-making machine, if I can use that. You go from not knowing that to becoming aware of that, to becoming committed to that, then to become practitioners of that. That's its process. So I don't want you to be discouraged about anything that we talk about. I want you to be rather be challenged and say, okay, Lord, thank you for letting us come face to face with your word in this way. And I hope and pray that when we finish studying this passage, that every one of you is going to say, you know something? I'm not sure I understand all that multiply, simulcast is about. But I do understand from what we're studying here that I need to be present to soak that in. There's one more way of the Lord teaching me and instructing me and helping me to become a disciple who makes disciple makers. As a mature believer, to be someone who mentors younger Christians. As a younger Christian, someone who is mentoring those who are not yet in the faith. Or a younger peer, a new believer. And we'll do this in a godly way, because you and I know very well there's some people that show up in churches that you don't want them imprinting themselves on anyone. That's not true. Rank and file of followers of Jesus Christ. One of the lies the devil is going to tell you as we study these verses is that you're not equipped, you're not qualified. That's just not true. If you've journeyed with the Lord for years and are still loving Him and longing to obey Him, you have something significant to offer someone who is not as far down the path as you are. Never think otherwise. It's the devil's lie. So I want us to see this passage under four headings together. First is, godly relationships begin with proper communication. Second, mature adult Christians set the tempo. Third, young adult Christians are the foundation for the future. And the fourth, where he takes it, this discussion outside the immediate being taught in Christ into the to the laboratory of the world. Christians in the marketplace model the faith and adorn the gospel. That's why we're there. So let's see, first of all, God and relationships begin with proper communication. Look at verse 1. But as for you, so he says in Titus, you and all of those who are leaders with you, we'll talk about that next time, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Words. Our words need to be seasoned with grace. Our words need to be redemptive. We need to be willing to speak the truth in love. We need to be quick. Look at your opportunities to bless and not to curse. To edify, to build one another up in the most holy faith. The scripture is replete. You can spend a series. In fact, a good pastor friend of mine in the Northeast spent, I think it was like a 7 or 10 sermon series on bridling the tongue. It's a fascinating series. The tongue can be used for so much good, promote so much health. In the same way, though, it can be used to tear down. It can be used to wound unnecessarily. It can be used to discourage. Speak, finish. We speak the truth in love. The scripture teaches that the wounds of a friend are faithful, kisses of an enemy are deceitful. There's times when we edify, there's times when we admonish, there's times when we exhort, there's times when we rebuke. We do all of that with the tongue. There's times when we correct. That means we've got to speak to one another. We will not grow in this if we do not speak to one another, not communicate with one another. When I teach communication in my pre-marriage times, sometimes in marriage, counseling as well, that the need is there. I try to teach the young prospective couple that we need to be sure we're not just talking, but that we're communicating. That what we're saying, think about this for a minute. When I open my mouth, when you open your mouth, there's 3 or 4 potential messages. There's the message I intend to say. There's the message I actually say. There's the message that the recipient hears. And they can be 3 different messages if we're not intentionally, proactively, redemptively speaking. We've all done this. And if we're not on our guard, we will do it time and time again. One of the things that happens when we don't communicate well is doors begin to close off to the relationship. If you have a bad experience communicating with a spouse, your relational management that you moved into when you were married is small. It's a real place. Same thing is true in your relationship. Whereas you might enter into a relationship with joy and excitement, you find a peer, you find a comrade in arms, you find a fellow pilgrim, and yet something goes badly in the communication. The doors close off in the relationship. And the relationship either just cools and disappears, or you come into a cold war mentality where the mutual silence, the agreeable silence of the time of night. And so when you take that out of the scriptures, you see nothing of that coming. Just the opposite. Speak. God gave us, as creatures made in His image, a unique, rational capacity. We alone communicate Just that the dolphins, they're so much smarter than them. I don't know about other people. God gave us the capacity to speak with Him. With that capacity comes a stewardship and responsibility. And so, while Paul is one to spend a lot of time in this passage talking about modeling and giving example, it begins with speaking, it begins with building bridges through communication. The best communicators, you know, are those who know how to listen. If we listen, that's very different than just sitting silent and listening to someone else talking. If we listen, when we hear people, we hear their hearts, we hear their challenges and struggles. So Paul begins saying, speak things which are proper. The word proper here, they're distinguished. Sometimes I know that there's a lot of conversation that goes on. I'm not belittling this. All the things we train in our communication seminars is what I call elevator chat. If you step on an elevator, somebody. What are you going to do to them? Now, I don't know. You may be one of those people who sit on an elevator, just turn and put yourself in the corner and say, I'm not going to talk to anybody. Most of you are not going to. You're fortunate. Someone says, how are you? I'm fine. That's good. That's pleasant. That's cordial. That's responsible. How about those so-and-so that you fill in the blank with your favorite team? Oh, yeah. But that's not distinguished speech. That's just sort of common purpose, surface level. The things that are proper are those things that excel. And he's talking here, of course, he's tied into sound doctrine. Speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, for healthy teaching. The word sound, we've looked at that before. The word for healthy as opposed to unhealthy. There is an unhealthy speaking. There's a contentiousness about things that do not matter. Or they don't matter primarily. Even doctrinal things. You know, the rabbis were notorious in Jesus' day for having these discussions. How many angels can dance on the tip of a needle? What does that mean? How much you want to even waste your time discussing? There are people who do those kinds of things. They get into the species, the questionable areas. Healthy teaching. Paul says, Titus, you focus on healthy teaching. I have a notion that Titus probably did not, while he was in Crete, I can't prove this, but he probably did not have seminars on what the end times would look like. See, it is going to look like what it looks like. And all we're ready to live the end time is if we learn how to live now, before Jesus. We learn how to live the gospel. That's really what he's driving for. You're going to see that as this passage unfolds. As for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. So here's the lesson for us. While it's perfectly okay to talk about how the football weekend went, whose team's won, whose team's lost, that's part of life. It's okay to talk about the holiday season coming up, nothing wrong with that. Let's be sure that that is not what dominates our speech. As followers of Jesus Christ, let's speak things to people that can lead them, lead their thoughts upward, cause evaluation. A lot of chatter right now about the upcoming election. A lot of pundits, a lot of prognostications. But you know what matters in the midst of all of them? Is that the people of God do the will of God. That we live the will of God. That we vote as according to our conscience, how we understand conversation and what's going on. Because both major parties are saying that if others can, that if that other candidate gets elected, it will be the end of the world as we know it. The end of the world as we know it. And you and I should know that the end of the world is not in the hands of who's elected president or not. The end of the world is in the hands of our sovereign God. He's going to be the one who brings it. We want to live like we believe that. Come a week from Wednesday, and they count all the ballots. Some folks are going to be excited, some folks are going to be mourning. Some are going to be relieved, some are going to be burning towns out there. The challenge will be for us to speak redemptively, speak words of hope. We're out in the middle of the crowd bemoaning our candidate nothing or rejoicing because our candidate did. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We speak the things that make for distinguished speech and that promote healthy, spiritual health, mental health. Amen. So begin with communication. We talk about modeling. You know, some people say, well, just be a good example to others. Well, yeah, we need to be a good example to others. But notice where Paul starts his conversation is. He starts it with speaking. There is no way we can be the example we ought to be if we cannot communicate. If someone's watching our lives, they ought to be able to tie to our lives the distinguishing characteristics of our lives based on our telling them about our Savior. Secondly, let's look at this. He begins with mature believers. Mature adult Christians set the tempo. He says, you need to teach these things, Titus, that the older men be so as, notice I point out to you from time to time when we're studying, when you come across that word that, sometimes it's a purpose clause. It's in order that. That's not what this is. This is a relative clause. It is teach them these things. Teach them the importance of being sober. And sober here is not primarily not drunk, although that's an application of it. To be reverent, temperate, sound in faith, by implication, sound in love, sound in patience. Let's look at that. Amen. Older men, by the way, the word older men here is that word we talked about before. It's presbytery. When it's used of a leader of the church, a mature leader of the church, the presbyter Ross is an elder. This is a presbyter. This is an older man. Perhaps chronologically older. In fact, probably on the Isle of Crete, a believer who is older, who is demonstrating maturity. He's got up to speed. In other words, he's not 60, 70 years old, newly converted, acting like a baby. Spiritually, he is growing, he is maturing, he is taking it seriously. Coming out of, by the way, of Crete, a primarily pagan culture. Some of us were raised in Christian homes. We had the underpinnings there before the Lord ever set our hearts ablaze for the gospel. This word sober is a word of self-control. You should not have to deal with out of control, mature, believing men. They're modeling how to deal with their passions. By the way, I love the fact that we have several here just like that. Men who are men, real men. Well up with a righteous indignation, who knows how to harness that? Channel that to the Lord God. The next word is reverent. This word reverent is venerable. It's the word venerable. It's the word honorable. It's the word worthy of respect. Paul says, Titus, teach the gospel and impress upon the mature believing men there. That their lives are not their own. They do not live unto themselves. They do not have withdraw and make their Christianity a private matter. They're saved by God's grace in the providence of God, and they're given the age, they're given so that they can be an influence, they can have an impact, they can model to younger believers, they can model to those in the congregation who are not yet believers, they can invade the life of the younger ones with a life lived for Christ that is worthy of respect. Use another word, temperate. It's the word not, that they're not self-indulgent. Mature, believing men should know better than anyone in a state of spiritual development. But this is all about the glory of God. Not about indulging me. By glorifying Him. I've been conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, who on this earth, who never lived past his 30s on this earth, was selfless. Show us what self-denial looks like in the face of incredible circumstances. So that it be tempered, that it be sound in the faith. In fact, that article is there. That's interesting to me because all three of these scriptures here, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in patience, the definite article is there throughout all of them. So sound in the faith, sound in the love, sound in the patience. So sound in faith is not just that they, well, I just never gave up hope, that's the problem. Sound in the faith, they're healthy. They're thinking about the gospel, their desire to work that out is healthy. It's not unhealthy. It's not diseased. You're not concerned that somebody that gets around them could catch something of Christianity that would be awful for them. You really are thinking, I hope what they have is contagious, and I hope a lot of people catch it. Sound in the faith. A healthy conception of, or a right understanding of it.
Move through life as if we understand what north is on the continent.
sound in the faith, sound in the love. This also is a healthy conception of love. Someone who's walked with Jesus a long time ought to be a person who you can see the love of Jesus in them by and large. Most of the time. And we all feel our sinful creatures. We have our Achilles heels and we can get buckled in our knees. That's not where we live. That's not what marks us. So that we, as mature believers, should not be described, that person is really sour. Christian, no. Oh, that's one of the meanest Christians I've ever known. Sound in the love. Healthy love. Love for one another. Love for the brethren. Love for the lost. How to love the world and yet not swept up by the world. And sound in the patience. Sound in the patience. It's older men then. Mature believing men. See, mature believing men, and I said, I don't believe I love stuff. No, I also sometimes. Patience. Where patience, there is the idea of a lot of stuff, of staying out of stuff, of not giving in, of not giving up. I recognize that we live in a society that its labor approach says you can labor X number of years and come to the point in your life where you may retire. Amen. What you understand, though, is that when it comes to the gospel, there is no retirement program. There is no retiring from ministry. There is no retiring from Christianity. There is no retiring from modeling. In fact, it is the maturing of those, the older men in the congregation, that send shockwaves to a culture. Let's say this issue of Christianity, this issue of following Jesus. I love one of the songs from the Gaither entitled Hallelujah. It's, if you've heard that, it's sung by an older man. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more I love him, the more love he discovers. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. It's very appropriate that that's sung by an older man. That's the outworking of this passage here. Is that true of you? Men? Or the longer I serve him, the crankier I get? No. The longer I serve him, the more I want to quit? No. Does it look like something you get over? Does it look like something that has tied itself to physical vigor so that as physical vigor diminishes, so zeal for Christ and love for His church can diminish? May it not be so, Lord. Give me strength, give me grace, whether standing or sitting in a wheelchair or lying bedfast to demonstrate to all who might observe my life a life of spiritual sobriety, a life that can be honored, a life that was not lived all about me, but was lived about you. That people have healthy conceptions of the gospel because they've watched my life. They have healthy conceptions of gospel love because they've watched my life. Oh, not perfectly, not every day, but that's what I told you from the beginning, from my beginning with you, that the next best thing to living perfectly, which none of us do, is to be willing to repent when we sin, be willing to forgive when we're sinned against. See, if that's factored into all of this, then the gospel is always in play. Be sound in the patient faith of the long suffering, in perseverance. Lord, help me to finish well. Here's my challenge. Wrap this up this morning. Men. Mature men, older men, as one of you, I challenge you. Let's purpose not to go out with a whimper when it comes to the things of God. Let's purpose to go out with a roar. With a roar. Roaring lions. Tenacious. Tenacious for the gospel. Tenacious to leave a legacy behind. To know that we have poured ourselves into the next generation. You need to think generationally about every 20, 25 years. So wherever you are in the journey, I'm speaking to younger men in the time to come, wherever you are in the journey, to pour my life, my prayers, my influence into those a generation behind me, 20 years behind you. To leave a legacy. It's about love. It's about mentoring. The same thing would be said to the older women. When you stop here, I just want to read over so you can get your juices flowing the next week. Verse 2, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in the faith, sound in the love, sound in the patience. The older women, likewise, is in the same way, look at this next week, I believe, that they be reverent in their behavior. So the words here, not slanderers, speech is important, not given to much wine. I know women, some of the men you live with can drive you to drink, I understand. Challenging. Teachers of good things. Model. Will you? You purpose. Jesus Christ set us an example, Peter said, that we should follow him. Will you purpose wherever you are in the journey? Whether you're an older man, an older believing man, an older believing woman, a younger believing man, a younger believing woman, will you purpose? I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. God be my helper, I'm going to be an example to others. See, the devil wants to lie to everyone and say, you're no example, you can't be an example. Look at this, look at that, look at that. Let me tell you something, everything you struggle with, the fact that you struggle and you're giving it to God is an example of somebody else who struggles. Never, everything you're not understanding. You're wrong. You're dying with kingdom purposes. The only way our value diminishes is if we put ourselves on the shelf. The glory of God, gospel of Jesus Christ, that the little ones might be saved, that they might grow in grace and climb this sound, this healthy coming from the gospel. Let us purpose. We will model Christianity. We will embrace and understand and to multiply disciples from all the modeling and mentoring. Those here who are not yet followers of Christ, we set before you Jesus Christ. Lived and died and rose again, that you might be saved. We hung on the cross and bearing his body the sin of all who come to faith, so that we can have heaven. Talking with the boys in the Sunday school class about the rich man and Lazarus. Stark contrast. Jesus died in order for your salvation, so that you, when you die, can be carried by the angels, the scripture is, into the bosom of Abraham, that is, into the presence of God our Father. When you come to Christ, repenting of your sin and trusting in Him, committing your life to Him.